Hello, it's Scott Manley here. Project Hail Mary is probably my favourite film of the year, and I love the fact that so many people who aren't fans of science fiction love the movie. Like many science fiction movies, it takes place around another star light years from Earth, but unlike a lot of sci-fi universes, there is no warp drive or hyperspace, or hey, those wormholes that were used in Interstellar, which I previously did a video on. No, the titular Hail Mary has to cross the gulf between the stars at sublight speed, experiencing relativistic time dilation. And this is why when he sets course for Earth, it tells him it'll be something like 3 to 4 years. Even although the distance is about 12 light years, he is experiencing time dilation, which will slow time for him and make it seem like the journey happens faster. The spacecraft's propulsion system is fueled by something called astrophage, which is basically a living thing that eats stars, stores up the energy, and basically can store more energy than anything else that we can imagine in real life. But it's really convenient if you want to fling a spacecraft between stars at 99.5% of the speed of light. And I've seen a lot of discussion about all this, the relativistic travel, the energy storage, etc. I haven't seen anyone mention what it would look like if you are actually traveling at 99.5% of the speed of light. Now again, sci-fi loves to have things like the stars turning into streaks of light and hyperspace tunnels and all that, but that's not the reality of what we're dealing with. The stars are simply too far apart to become streaks. This is what it would look like if you were travelling towards the constellation of Orion at 1 light year per second. So that's about 10 million times the speed that you would experience if you looked out the window of the Hail Mary at the halfway point. And this is the more realistic version. Now, I know many of you out there are thinking, you know, I think he's just paused the video there. And maybe you're right. But at 60 frames per second, that means the next frame is expected in 2 days' time. Stick around, I guess. But even with the complete lack of motion in the stars around you, there would still be some very obvious evidence that you are travelling close to the speed of light. And I bet you are already thinking, oh yeah, Doppler effect. We would see red shift and blue shift in the stars around us. And this is just a simple visualization. It is not accurate because at 99.5% of the speed of light, those things in the red are being redshifted beyond the infrared. And from the other side, these stars become incredibly bright. If you take an object like a star and you red or blue shift, it's the same as changing its effective temperature to the observer. And at 99.5% of the speed of light, the objects in front of you have their temperature increased by a factor of 20, and behind, they are decreased by a factor of 20. So the sun would be about 290 Kelvin, which basically would be the same temperature as the Earth, which looks fine in infrared, but is basically not emitting any visible light on its own. And so, you know, it was at this point in the story where I thought, oh, I'll mention that Star Trek, in their warp drive scenes, they used to stretch out their stars into different colours, and this was supposed to be a reference to the Doppler shift. And then I looked for some images on the internet and realised that, no, they weren't actually doing that. They were just doing whatever the VFX artist thought looked cool. So, yeah, I guess I remembered it that way because I was a physics nerd rather than paying attention. Now, far fewer of you are familiar with the aberration effects. And this is where, as you accelerate, you know, faster and faster, the world kind of distorts around you. If you look behind you, the world seems to start getting magnified. And if you look ahead of you, the world actually seems to be shrinking. So naively, it looks like while you're accelerating towards your target, it appears to be getting smaller and further away. And this is a consequence of the fact that light is moving at a finite speed. And as you are moving through these photons, you're encountering them at an angle which depends upon your velocity relative to them, right? It is a vector problem, right? It's just like you're flying through space and you suddenly hit this photon which is coming from the side, but because you're going forwards, it seems to come from ahead of you. It's the same as driving a car through a rainstorm. You see more rain hitting the front of the car than hitting the sides or the rear of the car. The difference being that the car typically is going faster than the rain, whereas with the speed of light, you can't actually go faster than it. And while I'm talking about this in this sci-fi world of interstellar travel, regular astronomers have to deal with this every day. or at least every night, because, you know, they do things at night. But yeah, the velocity of the Earth around the Sun is 30 kilometers per second. And that means there's 60 kilometers per second between, you know, 6 months separating the orbit. That means that light from distant stars finds itself bent subtly by this velocity of the Earth around the Sun. And so you have to subtract that out if you're doing astrometry. Anyway, this simple diagram shows how light rays coming from different angles have their apparent position adjusted based upon the velocity. And as you go faster and faster, more and more of the objects appear to be coming in front of you. As you get up to really, really high velocities, it appears that the entire universe gets sucked into a circle just in front of your spacecraft. But there's another part to this, because as these light rays are getting closer and closer together, that is kind of like magnifying them. If a patch of the sky that's, say, 10 degrees by 10 degrees gets squished down to, say, 1 degree by 1 degree, that means you've got the same amount of light coming from 1/100th to the area, therefore it has to be 100 times as bright. So you get what's called the searchlight effect, right? A beaming effect. And not only is the light getting brighter because of this, it's also getting blue shifted, and therefore much, much brighter still. And so to help visualize this even better, there is this project on GitHub by Dmitry Lavrov, which demonstrates this. On the left side, you set your acceleration and it will simulate, you know, 1 year per second of time lapse. Now we're passing 60% of the speed of light and the stars ahead of us are definitely starting to get brighter. And in the bottom right, you can start to see that there's some time dilation effects. Our ship time is getting behind the world time, which means we are aging more slowly. As we're getting up to 95% of the speed of the light, the stars ahead are all looking super, super blue. Our time dilation is getting stronger and stronger. And again, the world is condensing into this small area in front of us. Everything that disappears from that is getting redshifted beyond what we can see. And of course, the visible light that we see, while it is getting blue shifted up into the ultraviolet we can't see, the infrared, that is also getting shifted up into the visible. So we never run out of stars. The stars never disappear on the blue side. It's only on the rear side where they're getting red shifted to below zero. Now, as we start going faster and faster, we'll start to see things that would just be too faint, too red for humans to see. Things like nebula that may be glowing in the infrared. And yeah, even though you're setting constant acceleration, we can never actually reach the speed of light. The mass of the spacecraft increases due to relativity, so the amount of acceleration gets smaller and smaller as we get closer and closer to the speed of light. But yeah, as I said, some of those faint things like nebula and stuff are now getting bright enough that we can see them. And eventually, the cosmic microwave background radiation, which is normally at 2.7 Kelvin, is now getting raised to a temperature where it glows red. And as we go faster and faster, it too starts to get blue shifted way up until it is a shining light. We are staring into the remnants of the Big Bang itself. I hope you brought your sunglasses. But coming back to the Hail Mary, it isn't nearly so fast. It's only going 99.5% of the speed of light at the halfway point. But I did want to give an idea of what you might see if you poked your head out when it was traveling that fast. And this is a basic render in Blender. Like, so the model comes from a model website. I think it's originally based on a Juno New Origins build. But the skybox, it comes from Space Engine, and it's been processed with my code that generates the aberration and the blue shifting. I had to actually dial down the beaming somewhat. Also, the route between Sol and Tau Ceti pretty much is perpendicular to the disk of the galaxy. So you end up seeing the entire disk of the galaxy as a ring in the sky in front of you. The redshifting I also kind of dialed down a bit so that you could actually see that there was some texture behind the spacecraft. And so while I used a single still image for that skybox, I did actually create a visualization of what it would look like as you were traversing the distance between Sol and the Tau Ceti. So yeah, it's actually a 360 render, but those 360 videos never seem to get as much interest as I would like. So I will share those in links so that you can actually stick on your VR headset and point your head wherever you like. But for now, again, you can see how the galaxy, which was out my side windows at the start, is now, you know, collecting in front of me and getting very, very blue. And again, I have scaled down the beaming here because I don't have enough HDR capability inside the video, you know, player inside YouTube. Understand that this would be hundreds of times brighter than the image behind you. By the time you reach 95% of the speed of light, the light from all the stars in front of you is about as bright as a full moon. Once you're at 99.5% of the speed of light, the light is something like 100 times the brightness of a full moon, so it's equivalent to a well-lit room. But the average temperature of that light is so high that it is beaming lots of ultraviolet at you, so you would get a sunburn really quickly. And now we're about the halfway point, we're about to hit top speed. And as soon as we get there, we flip over and we start decelerating. And now the decrease in the aberration means that it looks like we are getting closer to our target. So all this is to say that while Project Hail Mary didn't need any sci-fi warp drives to travel between the stars, space is still going to look pretty warped to an observer traveling at 99% of the speed of light. I'm Scott Manley. Fly safe.